Well, everyone, I'd like to thank you for the very first episode of Minority Report, a War Machine and Whores podcast. My name is Terrence Johnson. I'm going to be one of your hosts. Company with my other two hosts, I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Isaiah Thompson.
This is Damon Booker.
Yes, and as you can see, this podcast, it has a lot of unique people in it. People and places, as Damon can talk slowly but surely as he sits there watching the AFC football game. So, as we continue with our podcast, we're going to cover a couple of different topics today. Isaiah just kind of got us through them, and we'll let Isaiah take it over from there.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to our podcast. This is going to be the first intro look into, you know, the three of us and know why we're here, why we're doing this. And then hopefully we'll catch everyone's attention. They'll kind of keep listening to us and hopefully get more of the community involved. And you guys have any questions or things you guys like to hear from us, you know, let us know. But start things off. As I said before, my name is Isaiah Thompson. I've been playing this wonderful game since 2007. Started with Signar, then jumped over to Circle for a little bit. But kind of dabbled in every faction. But the main two that stuck home is Signar and Circle. Enjoy them. Keep playing this game. I'll keep doing the best I can.
You know, one of the weird things about that is, like, everybody seems to start this game with, like, Signar. Like, on every podcast, everybody starts the game with Signar.
Well,
it's like, some other shit.
Or something. Well, for mine was, like, my best friend actually introduced me to the game. He ended up buying the Signar and the Minoth starter boxes. So we actually flipped the coin as who would get what, and I landed with Signar. That's how that started.
The gods have spoken, and Isaiah has been a Signarian since.
Since the Haley 2, the Haley 1s, the brokenness of Black 13th when they first came out.
Oh, my goodness.
Bark 1, good times. So, Damon, what you start with?
Well, man, it's funny. I've been playing the game about as long as you have, Isaiah. I think I started in 2006, 2007. And I started off one of the greatest press gangers I ever had the privilege of meeting, Monkey. Yeah, that's his nickname, not his government name. He actually bought my first Scorn models. So I started off in Scorn, played for a short period of time, went back to the company that shall never be mentioned on our podcast, and continued to play that game competitively for about another year before I came back and came back in. Now I at one time, I think I pretty much played everything, but my main factions and my love is Trolls and Scorn to this day. As both of you know, and those who are listening to the podcast who know me know that I was a press ganger for many years in the Nashville, greater Nashville metro area. I've always worked hard at making this game that I love so much grow, and I'm excited to be a part of the podcast that I hope will continue to facilitate that. TT?
Well, I guess I probably started a lot later than you guys did. I started probably in about 2013. So I had moved to Indiana for work, and the people around in Indiana had told me about this gaming convention called Gen Con. And me and my friend, my best friend at the time, still one of my best friends to the day. We had sat up there, and we had been playing Magic for a little bit, and we said we was going to go to Gen Con, we was going to figure out, you know, we wanted to get deeper into gaming. So we wanted to do, like, we could, like, decide, kind of decide on a miniatures game, right? So he was really a big fan of the company that shall not be named, and when we went to Gen Con, they weren't there. So we went around looking for other options, and he picked a game. He picked Infinity, and I picked War Machine and Hordes. And he bought a faction, and we picked a two-player battle box, and he wanted Circle. So I got Legion. And then we also bought the War Machine two-player battle box, and I picked Protectorate, and he took Kador at that time. And I guess the rest is history. I mean, so to this day, I own quite a few factions. I own Legion, Scorn, Crucible Guard, Protector of the Menoth. I actually own a lot of Retribution that I have literally never played. I own Cephalix. And
Tears. It's so much easier for you just to mention what armies you don't have. I'm just saying.
I don't have the boring ones. I refuse to play Signar because I was just sick and tired of always playing the good guys in every game.
But I mean, let's be honest. Signar has so many internal struggles. Like, can they really be called the good guys at this point? I mean, most crap starts from Signar. Like, Protectorate technically started from Signar. You have, like, so many other factions out there because of the BS that Signar causes in both mercenaries and other factions. So, you know, Signar kind of starts their own tons of trouble, too. Let's be honest.
I mean, you are correct. They're not technically the good guys. However, they're not crucifying people like Menoth is.
well, Resnick does his job well, sir. Let's just put this out there.
Yeah. I can imagine that there's Resnick rolling around in his chair like, man, that dude gets on my nerves. Hey, somebody get me a rack.
Good times with Mark One. I miss it. Not really. I mean, you know what? Mark One definitely had his interesting rule set. I mean, don't get me wrong, the power level of things during that time was way off the charts. But, you know, there was definitely a lot of interesting things during that time, especially with, you know, PvP first coming up. A lot of interesting type of campaign rules and stuff we had. You know, the introduction of, you know, when Hordes first came out, that was a big thing for everyone. It was definitely a really cool time. I do miss it a bit. The rule set I don't really miss, but with the changes, you know, the Mark II when you first came in and now to Mark III, things have got cleaned up fairly well. You know, there's hiccups here and there with every game, but it's definitely fun to play.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't start in Mark I. I started in about midway through Mark II.
Right.
So, I mean, I thought it was a pretty cool game when I first started. I mean, I never will forget the first game I ever played in a convention versus Halley 2. And I'm just like, what kind of crap is this? Like, I can't even play. So let me get this straight. You pop your feet, and then I just go sit down somewhere and watch you destroy my army. Gotcha.
The notorious life of Halley 2. Her rise, her fall. Good time.
So
I'm sorry. Has the game changed? I still feel like that's what Halley 2 does. What are you talking about?
She does on a much, much smaller scale, sir. So
I agree with that.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, well, with us playing all these factions, so Damon, what do you got on your painting table?
Actually, I have Terrence Crucible Guard. I'm actually painting, doing a commission work for Terrence. So I have this Rocket Man. I just finished his Sylvestro. I was able to slip in a Razor Worm for a Hesse 2 list that I'm running, and I got that completed. So, but currently, Rocket Man, which I'm telling you, is a bittersweet thing to paint the bane of what you don't want to play.
No, it's better than trying to pin Nis Hunters. But we don't bring that up. That a horrible atrocity. on my painting table is pretty much like a lot. But currently, I'm working on Trencher Long Gunners, getting them kind of all set and ready to go with more of my Trencher Cannon crews, which almost never see the light of day. But I'm gonna try and get them on the board. One day they shall be played.
Well, I am working on the new Protector model, Hand of Silence. He's the last model I have left in my Protector army to be fully painted for ATC.
One day I shall have all my stuff fully painted, but it shall not be this day or this year. probably a couple years in the future, I'm not gonna lie, because I am really slow in getting all my stuff painted. I will not lie, but hey, we'll get there.
Don't feel bad, man. I literally just started painting my own models probably like 2 or 3 months ago.
I mean, I like maybe tried 3 weeks ago.
And this is actually, this Hand of Silence is the very first War Machine and Horde model I painted. I started with Mom Pop models, and even like earlier this week, I was telling Damon, I was like, hey, I got to paint the Hand of Silence guy. And Damon was like, oh, you got him browned already? I was like, no, he ain't browned. I mean, I just started browning him like 2 days ago.
And I think my first model I painted was actually Haley too. She was the first model in the line I fully painted because I used to hate painting. But yeah, she was the first model I fully painted. Oh, man, that was a long time ago. Jesus. And my army still isn't fully painted. God, I'm horrible at this game.
Yeah, you have true life goals there, Isaiah. True life goals. I remember when I first got into tabletop many eons ago, and I'm seriously saying many years ago, over 20 years ago, my buddy, who was an artist, he was like, yeah, man, let's do it. I'm like, I'll get in only if you promise to paint the models, because that I don't have the patience or the skill to do something like that. And hey, look at me now, 25 years later, and I'm almost playing completely painted. I honestly think all my lists are 100% painted. So that's something I pride myself on. So
yeah, that's my lifelong goal, 100% painted. My lifelong goal.
Yeah, I typically try to go to cons. I will even change my list if I go to the convention and I don't have all my army painted. Now, if I go to the local game shop or something, man, I don't care about fully painted at all. But to go to a convention or something, I try to do my best to be fully painted.
Well, isn't that the beauty of the game, though? Like, that's when the game really shines at its most. That's when more interest is drawn into and possibly getting new players. It's when they see the full hobby. A nicely painted army on a nicely trained table. And then, I mean, I think that's what the game is meant to see, meant to be overall. You know, unfortunately, some of us don't have the time or the ability to always be that way. But I'm exactly the same way, T. When I go to a con, if it's not painted, I don't play it. But then local store, that's when I get in my pewter resin games.
Painted, so. Okay, well, now that everyone kind of knows, you know, what we're currently working on in our painting tables, building tables. So with this first episode of Minority Part, let's kind of let everyone know, you know, what our focus for this podcast is. You know, obviously, you know, we're about War Machine, Hordes, you know, that stuff. But another big thing that we actually want to try and focus on is our communities. I think it's important now with the current state of the game where a lot of people are kind of up and down about it, that we make sure we get the community involved, because a lot of us love this game. We want to make sure everyone's enjoying themselves, despite little hiccups here and there. But we always want to make sure that no matter who you are, no matter what, I would say, skill level you're at, whether you're new, experienced, a veteran, that we're always constantly enjoying the game. We're always kind of making it fresh, something new, and make sure everyone's involved with it. You know, and outside of that, you know, talking about our conventions coming up, especially like big events, big shocks that come out, things PP does. You know, we're always trying to be on top of it, talk to everyone, get everyone's thoughts and views. You know, trying to be more in tune with everyone. Damon, what do you feel like, you know, we should kind of focus on?
I mean, like, so, like, the three of us all travel a lot, right? We all go to as many major cons as we can. I know Terrence and myself has really made a focus this year to really put in the time on qualifier events and things like that. But let's face it, you know, I think we've had this conversation before, all three of us, where honestly the top 10, 20% of the players in this world are great players, right? And then probably the next 30 to 40% are decent players. But the majority of this game is probably unexperienced players.
Yeah,
so a lot of times, what's that?
I said, yeah, your casual players, people just come in. Yeah, your
casual players. So a lot of times when you're listening to other podcasts, if you're a casual player, some of that stuff just goes over your head. I mean, it's beyond them. So I think it's a beautiful thing for us to be able to talk on their level with the passion and the desire to be top, want to be top players, but not, you know, willing to sell their souls for it. Not saying that anyone is, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know how their souls are looking right now.
I mean, we deal with people who have sold their souls. Not mentioning any names, Chuck Ellsworth. No. So.
But yeah, I mean, I think having a voice for those casual players and for us who like to play competitively but don't take it too freaking serious, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we love that. So overall, what's that? I'm sorry.
I was saying we definitely love the challenge of, you know, playing competitively, but it, you know, it's a casual thing again. It's something that we just pop up and play. We enjoy it. We see friends we haven't seen, but you know, it's not, you know, I need to win. You know,
absolutely. Absolutely. Continue to grow the game. And I think we got the three great personalities and characters on this podcast that can help do that. What about you, T?
You know, I think one of my big things I notice about this the game as a whole, and one of the things I know when me and you get to play together that I tend to try to do is try to answer the question of why. You know, a lot of people get online, they look at net lists, and they look at other people's lists, and they copy it, but they don't know why a particular model or something is in the list, right? And people online sometimes or some other podcasts, not to say this is the wrong way to do it, right? They put models into the list, and they really don't really go into the minutiae or the small reason why that model is in there. And I think as we analyze lists and talk about what we're doing at different cons and different conventions, and what we're even doing in our local meta, right? How are we dealing with different things that we see that we'll be able to sit down and talk about what those answers are, why we're putting those things into our list so that newer players, and you said, like you said, the casual player has a better idea of what our mind thoughts is, why we put this model in there instead of this particular model, right? Because I think some of those things is what help us fine-tune those lists for those people that get to play a lot more games than some other people. That I think that just helps you just get a better understanding of what you do in the game, why you're doing what you're doing. And sometimes that answer is something simple, right? It ain't always for a particular work or to deal with something. It's just, even if the reason is simply, hey, that's my snowflake model and I just like playing it. You know, as long as we got a reason, I think, for something to be in the list, I mean, I think it all comes back to one big thing is that we're all having fun. We're all building up a community, and we're all trying to do something better.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. Especially the big thing of is list building, which is something, you know, we can focus on another podcast. But just to kind of touch up on it, a lot of people, you know, net deck lists, you know, play them off that, and a lot of people still don't understand that, you know, especially in any other type of competitive game, anyone can copy something, but that doesn't mean you play it the same way as the person who made it. No, you may not understand why this is there, how to properly play this. But I think the biggest thing especially for the casual player to understand is that you play your list that you're comfortable with. And if you feel comfortable with it, you can actually do many different things with it. You don't have to just copy the best list. Your best list is the list that you practice with, you feel comfortable with, and that you know off the back of your head because you can respond to different things that come against you. Because you already know what your list can do, what it's effective at, what it's not effective at. And, you know, something may not be a 100% guaranteed win, but even a 50-50 win based on how well you play it, you can easily come out and be victorious with it.
Absolutely. Isaiah, I couldn't say it better myself and Terrence as well, because a lot of times, It never ceases to amaze me when someone says, I ask someone, well, why is that in the list? I'm like, I don't know. It was, you know, it was the points. You know, say I just needed the points.
Oh, yeah, you know, like maximizing free points, you know. I'm like, you don't have to.
Absolutely. And it's just optimizing, you know, optimizing. And once again, we'll most definitely cover that in future podcasts. But yes.
All right. Well, you know, we did talk about a lot of our community. So, you know, here's a question. Damon, Terrence, where do you guys play at, you know, in your city states? And, you know, how's your guys' community?
Damon? We play at our local store, the Game Cave. Great owners, Josh, Travis, Clay, and silently John Bates himself. Our community ebbs and flows, unfortunately. But we have a pretty good following. That's where I play locally. Terrence?
Hey, Damon, one thing you forgot to mention is what city and state you in. Nobody know what game
you're in. Oh, yeah. Well, once again, I mean, do you not know me? Everybody knows Damon, and they know where I live. And that's the Game Cave in Hermitage, Tennessee, which is right outside of Nashville. Thank you, Terrence, for keeping me honest, you know, because not everyone knows the infamous Damon Booker.
Yeah. I don't. Oh, so for myself, I'm kind of in a weird spot right now, Isaiah. So I used to, when I first started playing, I lived in Indiana. I lived in Columbus, Indiana, about 30, 45 minutes south of Indianapolis. And Indianapolis had a really good meta for a while, and it kind of dove off. And I took it upon myself with some other people up there, and we kind of slowly but surely built the meta back up there. But some things happened, and my wife got an offer, so we ended up moving. And now I live in Memphis, Tennessee, where there is absolutely, totally zero meta here. So I've had like a couple of demo games at the local game shop here. So I'm trying to work myself back up to building another community here. Actually, I have some games with some new players on Thursday where I'm going to hopefully get some new blood in the game. So especially if people out there in the community have suggestions on how to build a community from zero to hero, I'm always looking for some ideas.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You know, you're starting with a brand new, fresh community. You know, having to build that up is something, you know, a lot of us strive to do, trying to build up from almost, you know, little to no players to a nice, respectable amount of players in our area, you know, to be there consistently. But for me, I've been playing at Pandemonium Games and Hobbies in Garden City, Michigan I've been going there for about 20 years now, maybe actually a little bit more. But yeah, when I first started back in 2007, there was a small amount of us. I would say maybe about 8 of us. But after a year or so with the current PG, there was an incident and he disappeared, and some of the players did. So I kind of actually took over as a unofficial press ganger or community event organizer, and I've been running it. I would say since 2010. 2009, 2010 is when I kind of self took over, and I've been getting the community through a lot of ups and downs, but I've gotten it back up. And as of right now, we are going to be rebuilding things back up in Pandemonium starting in April, and with events and everything. And I can't wait. I am so ready to get our events going, get our community back up live and ready to go, because I've been asked for like months and months, when are we going to get back things going? So I am super stoked and super ready.
That's exciting, Isaiah. However, are we really going to let Terrence say get a community from a zero to a hero without saying anything about that comment? Zero to a hero, really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, we all need our local superheroes. You know that. Come on now, David.
Yeah.
So Damon's a superhero on national level. He doesn't understand, you know, the casual people here.
No, I really don't.
If I knew me wearing a cape into the game shop would help me get some War Machine Horse players, I would do it.
You'll get one. I'll be there for that. Trust that.
All right. Well, since we are a War Machine and Horse podcast talking about Private Press, you know, Private Press has been, you know, on a bit of an up and down with a lot of the community. Both the casuals and the veteran players, with Mark 3 kind of going through its phases with CID, the releases, and everything else. But we got a nice little kind of ray of hope from them with their preview of what they plan to do this year. You know, let's kind of, you know, go over that for a nice little introduction, you know, kind of how we feel on the direction Private Press is taking. You know, kind of hope that 2019 will be a great up year, that we can, you know, get more of our community involved, more options, maybe even outside of just War Machine Hordes, other type of tabletop that PP has, and kind of get people more immersed in the world. So the first thing that definitely caught my eye when they announced it is we're finally getting a new storybook in, because I love the lore of War Machine. I've owned every of the magazines. I own all the books. I've read them all. Man, I love the lore, and I'm so happy that we're finally getting more in after, like, forever.
Same here, too. I've loved the book so far. I have no way, by no means, read them all. I have been doing, I know a lot of them on audiobooks. I wish they would put them more on Audible and other different sources. They're really good for me to, I really enjoy listening to them while I'm at work.
I agree.
Working on stuff. What I've read so far, especially, I think one of the best books I've heard so far is the Makeda book. I think it was absolutely fabulous.
Yes.
And
yes.
I wish they would go, it seems like so many of the different stories, right, are like Signar based. And it's just, I wish they would just go into more depth into the other factions as well.
I agree. The Butcher book was really good. I definitely enjoyed that one. But yeah, especially with them coming out with the new Stormbreak for the Act of War, the Part 3, including Crucible Guard, got me very interested. Damon, have you read any of the books?
Yeah. Like Terrence, I mean, my job, I'm on the road a lot, so the majority of my reading comes through audiobooks. But I do enjoy the reads. They're great. I agree with Terrence when I say I wish that's something that Privateer Press. And anyone who knows me knows I'm a PP man. I am a corporate dude, but that's one place where that's an area of opportunity for them to improve, is get more fluff out there. People are become more invested in the game as well as their factions when they know the game and the faction story.
I agree. I've been a huge thing about that, because probably back in Mark 1, Mark 2, when we used to have a lot more fluff-based books, you know, we always talk about that, especially at our store, almost like weekly, with all the different type of campaigns and everything else that came out. You know, where we can take a character in the story and play out certain scenarios. Like, that was fun throughout Mark 1 and Mark 2. I really miss those. But, you know, actually, speaking of that, they actually do have a campaign book coming out that they announced. So I'm hoping that we get something very similar to that. If I remember correctly, it's supposed to involve the Infernals coming out. So that might be a very interesting thing for your community, Terrence. You know, take them through, like, a story-driven campaign.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it comes out really good. I mean, I really want something that's in-depth, that appeals to a lot of different people. I know one time in our store in Indiana, we did like a map campaign, right? And it was great. And it ended up working out really well. And hopefully they'll just have a lot in that book for a lot of different people.
No, it's you speaking about map campaigns. That's something I've actually like written down and trying to custom make myself, because that's something like I've been wanting since the old Mark 1 days, where they did have one, and I've been wanting to make one for my community and make sure as many factions are involved, you know, make it interesting, make it engaging. You know, there's battles every week, people take over territories. Like, ideas like that sound really cool, and I'm trying to make something homemade for my group, and I think they'll all love it once it's all said and done. But yeah, I definitely can't wait for the campaign book, you know, hopefully throw out some cool and fresh ideas.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, you know, I didn't mention them, but Infernals is the new faction coming out this year. They look interesting, I will say the least.
Yeah, interesting. That's a good way to say it.
They're not working or confusing.
So, I mean, I don't know about anybody else on the podcast, right? But I know for myself, they are interesting looking. I was a little bit disappointed because the last couple of factions that have came out have all been War Machine, right? And they're introducing a new mechanic, and it may be something great. I know for right now, I bought Crucible Guard last year, but I'm not saying that it's a bad move on PvP, but I don't think it's that by no means. But I know for myself, I'm out. I'm not interested at all.
Not even a little bit?
Not at all. Man, it's hard enough to deal with. And maybe this is just because of the style of the player that I am. I tend to play very aggressive when I play. And Hordes, the Fury mechanic tends to lend that a little bit better. I know I'm playing Minoff right now, and part of that reason why I was playing Minoff was to kind of help me curve some of that aggressiveness back, right? But demons. It's just demons. And I'm just like, man, demons is in everything, right?
Yeah, that's fair. My more interesting part of them, because I've owned too much of this game and I've gone through so much, I need to calm myself down. For me, it's more a lore interesting option is they finally decided to come out with Infernos after, you know, a few years of hints that it was a thought. So I'm definitely interested to see what comes out, how they work, and then definitely a more history based on them and how they're kind of integrating themselves in the lore and who's going to be fighting them and everything else. But, Damon, are you going to pick up a new faction?
No. I've been there, I've done that, not doing it again. I am completely and utterly committed to staying the tyrant that I've been since day one for as long as I can. I used to switch every year, especially when I was a press ganger. I switch every year so I can at least have a little bit of an intimate knowledge of factions as I help new players come into the game. So every year I will switch to a new faction. Last year was Convergence. I don't even think I made it a year. Terrence, did I make it a year? I don't think I made it a year.
I don't think you made it 8 months.
Well, listen, there's no need to be ugly about it. I'm just saying.
I mean, it was one day and it was out the next day.
Well, they were beautifully painted, though. I mean, you must admit, Brad Henderson did his thing on those things, boy, and he did it quick.
The paint job, awesome.
Absolutely, and I'm number one. I'm not a War Machine guy, and God knows I've tried to become a War Machine guy. I'm a Horus guy, and that's my blood is Fury. You know what I'm saying? So to answer your question, unless they come out with a new Horus faction, I'm good. Thank you for asking though.
it's no problem, but just kind of interested to know where our thoughts were on the new faction coming out. But there's something else coming out this year. I'm trying to think too. Riot Quest? Right? The new tabletop?
Yeah. It's been announced.
Well, the more interesting about it is that all of the models in this new tabletop, if you know, for those who are listening who haven't kind of heard, Private Press is creating a new tabletop game. We don't know the exact details about, but they're going to have a bunch of cool, new, interesting models. But the interesting part is, the more interesting part in my book, is that all of these models will have rules to play in War Machine and Hordes.
That's exciting.
It's exciting and scary. once again, you know, learning about Power Curve, and I'm always cool on new and interesting models. And you know, them trying to integrate these new ideas is always interesting. As long as it all works out for the love of the game and the health of the game. Except we just got, you know, just more and more models.
Yeah, I've not really gotten really excited about Riot Quest as of yet, because I don't know enough about it to be excited about it, right?
Right.
The idea of them making the models cross-compatible, it's kind of interesting, right? I mean, the reality is this, that the models can have completely and totally different rules in one game than they do in the other. But I think it's kind of a smart idea by just about a company, right? At least you make sure that if you invest, if they, the company's investing money in these models, that if nothing else, the War Machine and Horus guys will buy, right? So you don't have stuff sitting on the shelf, right? But
I mean, I'm more worried about that. It's going to be not to kind of put it out there, like Company of Iron. There's almost like no talk of Company of Iron. Like you have the people who played it, who kind of enjoy it. You know, it's like the every once in a while casual thing. Like at our community, it never really took off. And I'm worried that Riot Quest will be more for the War Machine and Hordes than it will be for the actual Riot Quest game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't understand what you're saying, right? I think Company of Iron was a really... I really did like Company of Iron, and I like the idea behind Company of Iron. I think one of the things is that it, for a lot of us who had already been in the War Machine and Hordes kind of like tournament series, right? It had no kind of tournament format with it, right? And it really, to some extent, was kind of really, kind of oddly balanced. And because, like, shooting in that game, even though they tried to penalize it as much as they could, right, the units that can shoot just ended up in a lot of different games just, for what I found was, it just ended up just shooting most of the stuff off the table, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, it definitely felt weird. I mean, not so much that, like the idea of having a smaller base skirmish, you know, like, the idea of that was fine. It's just, now you had to play on, you know, a 3x3. Managing the rules were a little bit different. Like, your squad base just with infantry, you couldn't really bring jacks, outside of, you know, a few special occasions. So it definitely felt different. Like, I played a couple of times just to try it out, and it was nice, don't get me wrong. It just wasn't... After playing this game for so long and then trying to switch over to that and trying to play that kind of consistently, just didn't feel right, you know? Probably because, you know, we're just so used to, you know, the base game, sticking with that.
So, I don't know about you. One of the things that I did when I started playing Company of Iron was, you know, you got all these units that you have that you don't typically play with in your regular War Machine and Horse armies, right? So I thought it was a good opportunity to take those units that you weren't playing in your War Machine Horde army and build an army for them in Company Iron, right? Because one of the cool things about Company Iron was units that did not shine in War Machine and Hordes, a lot of the time, because they got you so many cards or because the way Company Iron worked, right, those units could shine in Company Iron nowhere near. Like they would shine way better than they would in War Machine and Hordes.
I completely agree.
Well, here's my take on Company Iron. It's a great concept, poorly executed by PP. They sold it to the wrong clientele, which is the veteran players. I'll be honest with you, if I have time for a game, I'd rather play War Machine Hordes. I'm not a marketing guy, at least not on that level. I think they were expecting it to be a gateway game. Into the full range of War Machine Hordes, and it fell short. But yeah, I mean, and Terrence, you're completely right. If you were a dual threat unit like Nis Hunters or Brigands, I mean, the game is pretty much yours to lose. So I think I played it twice, and I've never picked up the models, picked up the bots again, and I won't. But let's talk about. Let's talk about the success stories, though, man. Mom Pop, come on. Most Apocalypse.
Oh, dude. The models look beautiful. Also, my store is selling out like hotcakes. Like, we can't keep it on the shelf. It's ridiculous. And I haven't played a game yet. I'm like, <"Dude."
laughs> And that's everywhere, man. Like, I mean, even our local stores have issues getting it from Alliance. They just, I mean, they're staying sold out, which is... I mean, a lot of people, in my meta, I won't say a lot, but a few people in my meta was concerned, like, well, why are they doing this? Like, well, I never heard of a successful company who only sold one thing successfully. So it's all about diversifying the clientele, and it's a different market. It's a fun beer and pretzels type of game that can be serious and very strategic and play. And once again, like you said, Isaiah, the models are beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
The release schedule on it is unbelievable. I mean, they have something coming out every month.
Yep.
I mean, it's everything that we want, and then some.
Oh,
so
yeah,
if you haven't tried it, people, try it.
Definitely. Like, they marketed it really well. I was a little worried when they first announced it. I mean, I was happy when they announced it. I was like, okay. Because, like, I liked it when it first came out. The models were kind of cool, but, you know, the rule set was kind of a little clunky. But the new version, like, watching it at Gen Con when they showed it off, it was really solid. And I definitely got a few demo games in there. So, like, I'm kind of tempted later on to maybe dip my hand in it and see if I can get some people hooked on it as well. So, lastly, on their kind of showing off, it's currently going on right now at the time of this recording, is the Artbook Kickstarter. And I'm a huge, huge love of art books. I'm not going to lie. I love me some art books. And I kickstarted, like, first thing, because I definitely wanted to see if there was going to be some cool new art from all the other books. And I'm definitely hoping that there's some interesting new showings for future stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. I like the idea of it. I was kind of, I guess it's a Kickstarter. I looked at the Kickstarter earlier today, and, like, the one I was thinking about doing with the $57 one, but after $57, it jumps all the way up to $240. And I was just like, man, but this for a canvas print. And I'm right. Like, what does this canvas print look like? I mean, it's got to be amazing. Would it be like $180 for that print?
I agree with you. I mean, I kicked in for the 57 one, and I was like, that's all I need. Like, I just need the physical book and the cool new model comes with, which is a very interesting model that works with everybody. Kind of like Elish.
Yeah, I was kind of weirded out, like, the whole, like, digital book. I'm like, why would you even want a digital book? But it's an art book, right? Why would you want a digital copy?
Surprising enough, nowadays, like, because, like, I own many art books, and especially when you order them online or directly through the company itself, they give you digital copies of the art book. So it's actually a pretty common thing now. Why? I don't know. Because I feel like an art book should be something you hold on to. But I guess, like, having a digital copy for people who like doing, you know, cool little digital images, it's a reference book. They can use it for, you know, cool pictures, backgrounds, and whatever. Maybe that's why. I mean, that's my only thought on it.
Well, I'm getting it. who doesn't want a good, nice, fat Privateer Press visual Bible on their coffee table? I mean, the history of the game.
No doubt about it.
They're having mom pop models in it as well. So a full range. Even I think they said there's even models that we haven't really seen in a long time, at least the artwork for it. So, I mean, I'm excited for it. And as far as digital, Terrence, not everyone's old. You know, some people like digital, be able to look at their books on an iPad, iPhone, Android. I don't know why you would have one of those, but if you did have an Android.
I would never own an Apple product unless it was a MacBook for digital editing. That is the only product I will ever own. Outside of that, the rest can burn.
I'm just saying, Isaiah, I mean, not everyone can be perfect. You're close to it, but not quite there.
I mean, so, you know, you got a good point, right? I get a lot of people to ask me, you know, what is War Machine of Hordes, right? And I can just hand them that art book and say, hey, look in here, right? But it's kind of hard to do that with the digital thing. That's just my thought about it.
But also, once again, that hooks people. You know, they see that artwork. You know, they see those awesome battles that are happening. And, you know, and that's what we want to put on the table. You know, that's another way for us to just catch more people. You know, people are usually get into a game for one of three reasons. A, they love the gameplay. B, they love the story behind it. Or C, they love the art and, you know, the visual direction the game is going.
Yeah.
So that's their hook.
I just like the idea on a digital format. I can screenshot it and save it as a wallpaper.
Exactly. All right.
I think everybody should have a wallpaper with just my face. I think that's everybody needs to wake up to something of beauty every day.
So you really want the world to go into a Bird Box type of atmosphere? Everybody's blind.
Calm down, Terrence. We love you.
I mean, who doesn't want a picture of Black Fabio? You know what I'm saying? I don't want it.
No, burn it.
Burn it. Pluck my eyes from my skull, please. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, that's our first episode, guys.
One other thing, Isaiah, before we end it, right? I want us to sit down. One other thing I just wanted us to cover, and we had talked about this a little bit earlier before we started the podcast. It was the reason why we kind of started the podcast, not just what we're going to start it, but why we did it, right? I know Damon brought it up earlier, and, you know, for myself, when we started first looking into this, and just to give people an idea, I think as we grow our community and as our community looks to get bigger and better and provide different things, I think we as a community need to not only look into different places for players, but just different, just provides a level of diversity to our community, right? Start looking at a way that we can improve the community to make it more friendly, not only to women, but to people of different nationalities and different colors. I know for this, one of the reasons why we called the podcast Minority Report, right? Because we're three guys of African-American descent that play this game and enjoy this game. And that's something I know for myself I would like to see more of.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And we definitely want to try and invite everyone into this game, no matter who you are. But we don't want anyone to feel kind of odd, an oddball out because of, you know, reasons, either history, race, whatever. We want everyone to understand that we're a community that's inviting. We love everyone. We want everyone to come in. We don't want you to feel scared or nervous. And, you know, if you do, you know, come talk to us. You know, we'll try to ease you in. We do have a Facebook group, Minority Report Woman Horse Podcast. Go look us up. If you guys have any questions or, you know, you just want to just say hi, come on in. And then, you know, that's, you guys also have any questions about your community, what to do. There's a few of us also, like with the Chain Attack group, building up our communities. Plus, there's tons of other type of podcasts, not just us. That can also give you some insight on things you can do via your faction, community-wise, everything. So we're all very open, no matter where we are. Just come in, talk to us. Besides, you know, Terrence looking at his face every morning, that sounds horrible. But everything else is good.
So very true.
All right, well, so, I guess that's the first. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, you know, we'll appreciate you all. I was completely amazed by, you know, Isaiah put up the Facebook page. And I think in the first night, I think we had 30 people like the page. And I think right now we're up to, I want to say just over 50. Please don't burn me at the stake if I'm exaggerating a little bit. We really are very appreciative of you guys supporting us early in the game. And just know that you're going to get the best that the three of us can come up with, and continue to give you good voice, good sound, and good content as we move forward with Minority Report.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for everything. And, you know, for all our listeners, thank you guys for listening. Always be subjected to your community. And, you know, if you guys have any questions, let us know. You guys have a great night.
All right. Later.
Peace.